Welcome back to our weekly podcast where we talk about all kinds of questions regarding different topics from the website A Thousand Things to Talk About. For those of you who are new and haven't listened to our podcast yet, we are four students from Heinrich Heine University. I'm Linnea.
I'm Amelie.
I'm Gökay.
And I'm Ina.
As always, we receive new questions each week from our listeners, which we are going to discuss now.
So our first question is, what is your favorite place to travel?
For me, I really like to travel to places somewhere out in nature, also beaches, even though I don't enjoy swimming that much anymore. But likewise, I also really enjoy city traveling, and in general, I just love exploring new places and learning about different cultures. And I'm very fortunate that since I was little, every summer holiday, my parents traveled to so many different countries with me and my siblings.
Oh, really? Which countries have you traveled to?
For example, New Zealand, Iceland, and Australia. And the trip to Australia was one of the most memorable trips from when I was little. We rented a motorhome and drove across the whole country, and almost every day we drove to a different place. So we've seen amazing nature and landscapes like deserts, rainforests, and beautiful beaches, but also the big cities. Being able to travel so much was one of the best things about my childhood, and I'm very grateful that I could have these experiences at such a young age.
That sounds very exciting. And what would you say is your favorite place to travel to, Amelie? Because I honestly can't think of one particular place for me right now.
I must admit that I'm not particularly fond of traveling, because I can really enjoy myself by being at home.
Wait. Are you a couch potato?
A little bit, but if I had to choose a place, it would be France. I just love the language and I've been there plenty of times in the past. Aix-en-Provence is supposed to be really beautiful, and I would love hanging out at the beach while practicing my French. Perhaps I would even go to a language school and study the French language for a few months so that I'd be fluent at speaking it again. Well, what about you, Ina?
I like traveling, and there are many places which I like. At the top of my list is London. I have been to London only once, and it was really the most memorable trip of my life.
When have you been there?
Oh, I was there last year. And everything I had learned and read about London before I saw it with my own eyes. Red double-decker buses, Big Ben, Buckingham Palace, the Tower of London.
What did you like the most, by the way?
All of them are amazing. On the one hand, you have a very old royal culture, old buildings, historical places, and on the other hand, a very modern city with a great number of fashionable shops, pubs, restaurants, and galleries. And of course, language. For those who are learning English, London is a good place to practice it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Our second question is a bit more of a philosophical one. What do you imagine when someone describes themselves as normal?
Well, when someone describes themselves as normal, I would actually think of a boring person for some reason. I would imagine a person who's standard overall, like a person that has mainly only positive characteristics, someone that never gets mad at anyone, and someone who's extremely polite, goes to bed on time, does a little bit of sport, has a partner, is always punctual and stuff like that. Like someone that ends up in an office job and is really happy about it.
Yeah, I would say it's a very philosophical question. I guess if we look it up at the dictionary, the very first explanations for normal would be something like usual or typical or ordinary or even expected. In other words, being normal presupposes conforming to a standard, being just like everybody else, or following the established norms in society. Therefore, such words as strange, different, or weird do not belong to being normal.
So you would agree with Gökay?
Yes, I would agree with him. It sounds indeed very boring, but I have to say that everyone is an individual with their own ideas, particular ways of doing something, and of course with their own way of looking at normality. So it's very, very individual.
Well, that is indeed interesting. I do feel the same about that. A pretty average, maybe even boring person. I guess I'm also being quite judgmental here, but it's what first comes to mind.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you all said. So let's move on to the next question, shall we?
Sure.
Okay, the next question is, how long have you known the person you've been friends with the longest?
Oh, I like this question. Let me be first. That is my best friend, Mary. I have known her for many years, since our childhood. And that is about 23, 24 years now. We were neighbors, grew up together, spent a lot of time together, and then I moved to Germany. Nevertheless, we continue to communicate. Sometimes we even meet each other. And despite hundreds of kilometers, Mary is still my friend. She's always ready to help, ready to talk, and I appreciate that and value our friendship.
That sounds really nice. The person I've been friends with the longest, I actually met in kindergarten. So that's about 18 years now. We basically grew up together, going to the same kindergarten and later on to the same schools. And we've always had very similar interests. Well, that's probably why we were such good friends. And of course, our interests have changed over time and we drifted apart a little, especially since we live in different cities now. But I'm proud that we can still call one another friends to this day.
The person I've been friends with the longest has actually been a friend of mine since the day I was born.
Wait, you have to explain it.
Yeah, this happened because our parents were friends way before. Both of my parents were born and raised in Turkey and the parents of my friend as well. They also came from the same city in Turkey, but they didn't know each other when they were living there, but became friends in the 90s when they moved from Turkey to Germany. My friend is 1 year older than me, so we know each other for barely 20 years now, and since our parents became friends, they have always celebrated New Year's Eve together with both of our families. But now that the kids have grown up, they celebrate with their friends, and our parents went back to celebrating alone again. For some reason, me and my friend also call each other cousin, even though we are not related by blood in any way.
As for me, I know my best friend from my earliest childhood days. Her name is Kimberly and we used to be very close. We met each other every weekend, played video games and spent time outside. We also did all kinds of things together, and when I was 7 years old, I asked my parents if we could adopt her. My parents loved her as if she was their own daughter, but she did already have a great family. When we grew older, we unfortunately drifted apart a little, but we still talk to each other occasionally, and it's like nothing has ever changed. Well, concerning our last question for today's podcast, our listeners came up with a really good one. If you had to get one phrase tattooed on your body, what would it be?
In some way, I really like this question, and in other ways, I absolutely hate it, because it's kind of tough to answer.
Just try it.
Yeah, I don't mind people that are tattooed and in some way respect them for making such a lifetime commitment, which I would not be willing to do at this point in my life. But if I really had to get one phrase tattooed on my body, I guess it would be this one that I just recently read. Nothing worth having comes easy. I know when you hear it first, it doesn't sound too spectacular, but when I read it, I thought about it and came to the conclusion that it really does prove a point.
What do you mean?
I think it's way easier to start negative and worthless things that can actually damage you than staying consistent and focused on positive, long-term decisions. Like, you could take smoking as a really good example. It's so easy to start because for most people it just happens and no one does it willingly. But if you want to stop smoking, it's such a long-term commitment which can conclude in ups and downs. You could stop smoking for like 1 month and ruin it through smoking just one cigarette and getting addicted again. Same goes for eating healthily and doing sports and hitting the gym. So all in all, I would say I think that this phrase represents a really strong mindset and willpower, which in my opinion can be extreme lifestyle changes in a really positive way. What about you, Inna?
Well, tattoo phrases have always been a part of the tattoo world. Therefore, you can meet many people with different phrases on their bodies. If I got a tattoo phrase, I guess it would be some meaningful and inspirational quote. A tattoo is not a thing for one day. That is why I would like to have something that I would enjoy and something that would inspire me every time I see it. For example, everything is possible or happiness depends upon ourselves.
I'm not really sure about getting a tattoo yet, even though I do like the idea of keeping something that's valuable close to my heart. But it would probably be a quote by someone who's very dear to me. It could be my mother, my grandma, my sister, or even my teacher. Speaking of which, when I left my school, after having graduated, our teachers had to write a few things about the students in our yearbook. And my teacher wrote, "To thine own self be true." This quote by Shakespeare still sticks with me, as it means that I should always believe in myself and not be ashamed of who I am.
I don't think I'd ever want to get a tattoo, but if I really had to get a phrase tattooed, I think it would either be some kind of inspirational, motivational phrase, or a quote from one of my favorite fictional books. But one phrase I can think of right now is "Yesterday ended last night."
Where does that one come from?
I think I read it a couple of years ago in the book The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. A very insightful book, by the way, for those of you who are interested in self-development and that kind of stuff. But yeah, that phrase basically works as a reminder to let go of yesterday and live in the present, and to let go of regrets and bad emotions and not be limited by the past, but instead engage in the present day. So since I often find myself brooding about past mistakes, things I wish I had or hadn't done or said, stuff like that, this really resonates with me.
So with that, I think we've answered all questions for today. As always, a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in again. Don't forget to leave a comment and keep the questions coming. Until next time.
Bye. Bye.